Is a special report from ABC News. Texas wildfires. I'm Daria Albinger. Shelter in place. That's what authorities in Canadian Texas are telling residents as a fast-moving wildfire races toward their homes. All of the roads into the city are no longer passable. ABC's Maria Villarreal is in Fort Worth.
The largest inferno, the Smokehouse Creek Fire, quadrupling in size in less than 24 hours. Misty West and her family fleeing their home in Pampa, Texas with their two dogs.
It just moves so fast.
The hot, dry conditions fueling fires across the plains from Texas to Nebraska and Colorado, where a fire Monday threatened the Air Force Academy near Colorado Springs.
West describing the conditions there.
We're in town right now, but it's just massive. Like, it should be a sunny day, and it looks like it's fixing to thunderstorm here.
The governor declaring a state of emergency for 60 counties. This is ABC News. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky is in Saudi Arabia to meet with Crown Prince. Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman has sought to position himself as a possible mediator to end the war between Ukraine and Russia. The Insurance Institute for Highway Safety is out with its picks for the safest cars of 2024.
The Hyundai Motor Group was the big winner overall, with 16 Hyundai, Kia, and Genesis vehicles winning either Top Safety Pick or Top Safety Pick Plus awards. Among them, Kia's Telluride and the new for 2024 Hyundai Kona. Five different Mazdas took home Top Safety Pick Plus awards. That's the most of any single brand. And it comes after the IIHS changed its awards criteria, upping the requirements for backseat passengers and pedestrian crash avoidance systems. Mike Dubusky, ABC News.
Toyota is recalling more than 380,000 pickups. Tacoma midsize pickup trucks. A part can separate from the rear axle and increase the risk of a crash. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
It's Black History Month, and Civic Media Radio Network recognizes the importance of this observance. But what do you really know about it? I'm Kelvin Butenhoff, producer of The Earl Ingram Show. Echoes of Empowerment, Black History Stories will offer thoughtful answers all month long. Now, here's Earl Ingram.
It's Oscar season, and since the award started in 1929, more than 3,000 Oscars have been awarded, but only 60 have been won by Black actors. The first Black woman to win Best Lead Actress was Halle Berry for the film Monsters Ball in 2002. Denzel Washington earned Best Lead Actor for Training Day also in 2002, marking the first time both of the top Oscars were won by African Americans. That hasn't happened since. Listen for more Black history stories here on Civic Media. I'm Earl Ingram.
Matt Nair on air.
Want to thank our previous guest.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. We're near the end of Black History Month, first proclaimed by President Reagan in 1986. He said Black history had a rightful place in American schools. Senator LaTanya Johnson says she's dismayed by the change in tone from Wisconsin Republicans.
It's so far away from that. We see so many attacks on minorities in that building.
Johnson speaking to the Wisconsin Eye Public Affairs Channel. A pair of redistricting experts is billing the state $128,000 for the work they did for the Wisconsin Supreme Court. About half of the bill will be paid by taxpayers. The rest will be covered by the six parties in the case. The case was effectively closed when Governor Evers enacted new maps last week. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
Badgers take on Indiana. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. In men's college basketball, Wisconsin on the road against the Indiana Hoosiers. The Badgers trying to climb back into the AP Top 25. Marquette's now ranked fifth in the nation after their wins over DePaul and Xavier. In the Big Ten, the Badgers' Greg Gard says any team can be dangerous right now.
I mean, just look at Ohio State, you know, was left for dead 2 weeks ago. And now they beat Purdue and Michigan State in the span of a week. So the parity, as I keep saying, and is pretty evident, not only in our league, but across the country.
Baseball, the Brewers lost to the Reds 8-3 yesterday in Arizona. Tomorrow they'll face the Cubs and Craig Counsell. So many new players on the Brewers roster, but Christian Yelich says,
I definitely think we're going to be a competitive team this year. You know, even when we've been good the last few years, like, no one ever picks us to be good, just because, we're the Brewers and it is what it is.
That's the Brewers' Christian Yelich. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Cloudy with some snow showers tonight, a low near 5 above, but windy, gusts as high as 30 miles an hour. Early clouds tomorrow, then sun's back for the afternoon, windy and colder, high in the upper teens. Warmer Thursday near 40, currently 21 degrees.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Wednesday, I've got Reggie Jackson on to discuss the school-to-prison pipeline.
Weekday afternoons from 2 until 4. Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Broadcasting live statewide from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who's had a paper route for 25 years but never collected, Pete Schwabba.
Well, hello. Fancy meeting you here. Welcome to Nightlight. Great to have you with me on a Tuesday night. Thanks for tuning in or streaming in or however you're joining us. It's great to be back gracing your airwaves and talking to you about really fun stuff after, let's be honest, some of you probably had a really rough day. And that's why we're here. We hope to make it a little bit better. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. I am your host, Pete Schwabba. This is the Civic Media Network. We're broadcasting live statewide from beautiful downtown Green Bay. And I do mean beautiful. A gorgeous day in the state of Wisconsin today. I live in the Marinette area. I think we maybe hit 50. I got to Green Bay and it was about almost 70 degrees here today. And it amazes me that in just 50 miles or whatever it is, there could be that much of a difference in temperature. It's insane. But it was a gorgeous day today. I guess it's supposed to cool off tonight. But Conrad, what did you do today? Did you hit the beach?
And I went back to Appleton to visit one of my friends.
Oh, nice.
And yeah, we spent some time outside and yeah, just a beautiful day.
Yeah. So a week ago, it was freezing and you were wearing shorts.
Yeah.
And today you got the snow pants on and it's a gorgeous, gorgeous day here. That's Conrad Krieger. He is ready to take your text, ladies and gentlemen.
As always.
As always, I saw him stretching out the thumbs.
Always got to do some stretches for him. It's all right.
It's so funny, too. Like I say, like you're stretched. You're not texting people back. That's how you would need your thumbs. But I just associate.
Well, I got to use the keyboard. So
that's true.
All fingers are stretched out.
Okay, fair enough. The point is he's ready. So we are ready to hear from our lovely listeners. So great, as I mentioned, to have you with me tonight. We have, I got some great guests tonight. Comedy writer Andrew Genzer will be joining us at 7:35. He wrote for years for Joel McHale and The Soup. I worked with Andrew on a show called Sports Soup, which was the sports version of The Soup. He is currently employed on The Jimmy Kimmel Show. He'll join us in just a few minutes at the bottom of the hour. And then my brother Andrew is in town. He lives in Charlotte, North Carolina. He's a lawyer, so he's back and forth. But he was in Green Bay today, so Andy has a story that I always loved regarding a Twitter handle that he owned called @UWBadgers. He owned it, so I wanted him to come on the air and tell the story of the negotiation and how he lost it, even though it was sort of his choice, but ultimately might not have been. Anyway, that's the story. Andy will stop by in the 8 o'clock hour right at the beginning. And then from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, always fun to talk to Chris Foran about TV and movies. He'll be here around 8:35. And he and I both watched True Detective Season 4 Night Country. And I'm anxious to get Chris's thoughts on that. He writes about entertainment for a living, so his opinion, as all are when it comes to TV and film, will be quite valid, and I'm interested to hear his thoughts on that. We have, okay, so today, who shared this with us, Conrad? Was it Todd Michaels, the ice cream, or was it Amanda?
I think it was Amanda.
Okay, Amanda Nimmer, who works here at WGBW, she's one of our amazing producers, sent this thing that she found on what I like to call the World Wide Web. I know what you call it at home. That's what I call it, the interwebs. And she said, it was just, I don't know where she got it, but it says, these are America's favorite ice cream flavors, according to the International Dairy Foods Association, the DFA, maybe. I don't know if that's how they abbreviate it, but they should. That sounds kind of cool, the DFA. Dairy Foods Association, chocolate chip ice cream is no longer one of America's favorites. Instead, cookies and cream takes the top spot, followed by vanilla, chocolate, and mint chocolate chip. Really? Vanilla is number two? That just doesn't make sense. That must be just because it's part of every ice cream on some level, maybe? That makes absolutely no sense. Vanilla gets the nod for number two over chocolate and then mint chocolate chip. Bluebell Creameries used to offer vanilla chocolate chip as a core offering, but it has since become less of a priority. Other flavors, like salted caramel, that's the big thing now, sea salt, salted caramel, have become more trendy. A 2022 survey, already 2 years old, found that 58% of consumers reported purchasing a premium ice cream, while only 24% recall purchasing regular ice cream. Premium ice cream has less air churned in, which gives it a richer texture. Wow. Do people even know that, though? How could you report? Conrad, would you know what kind of ice cream you're eating if it's premium or regular?
No, I honestly couldn't tell.
I guarantee you no one that participated in that. Consumers reported. No, they did not. There's no way anybody knew that. I've never even heard of that before.
Once they like see the logo, then they're like, oh, maybe I taste the difference.
Right. Yeah, that makes no sense. And I was a solid C student, so I know what I'm talking about. It's kind of interesting because mint chocolate chip, I think, to me, has always been more popular than chocolate chip ice cream. But today is National Retro Day. And mint and chocolate chip ice cream just kind of seems retro-y. It just seems like it was popular like when I was a kid. But they've made major strides in ice cream engineering since those days. That's our question tonight. It's very simple. Let's just have some fun with this one. And we still didn't get the doggone new phone number, Conrad.
Oh, yeah.
Good Lord. This one works, though, I guess. Okay, so our question tonight is, what is your favorite kind of ice cream? And it's not ice cream. It's iced cream. It's just become part of the vernacular that people say ice cream, like iced tea. It's iced tea. It's not corned beef. It's corned beef. You follow me? These are important things. Ice cream. It's iced cream. Iced tea, corned beef, popped corn. Can you think of another one, Conrad?
I'm honest. I didn't even know it was iced cream. I thought I always just knew ice cream.
Yeah, when you really get down to it. The verbiage is what makes it. I think my favorite is chocolate peanut butter.
That's a good one.
That's a great. I cannot, honestly, I don't eat a ton of ice cream, but in the summer, if I'm getting ice cream, it's chocolate peanut butter. What about you, Conrad?
It would have to be mint chocolate chip.
Mint chocolate chip?
Yeah.
That's the new chocolate chip.
Yeah, you know, vanilla's just too plain. You got to get some mint in there.
It's just improving it. And some of them I like, the Rocky Road. It gets so busy, though. There's nuts and whipped cream and, like, geez, just.
You can only have, like, a couple scoops of that one.
Yeah. It just seems like they're overthinking it. But I like a good peppermint ice cream, too. You don't see that very often. So what is your favorite ice cream? Let us know. I love when you guys participate in the show. 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. You can also text us on the app. Our show is on statewide, so just click on any one of the stations on the app, and there's a little text icon right next to it. You can let us know your favorite ice cream. If there's someone out there that still likes chocolate chip, we want to hear from you. I think it's been improved by adding mint, but what do I know? Everybody's got their own favorites, and there's no right or wrong answer. Please feel free to let us know. There's some birthdays today. Liz Taylor died on this day, It was her birthday today. She died in 2011 at the age of, I think, 79. John Steinbeck is also deceased since 1968, but this is his birthday. A couple heavy hitters there. And Kate Mara. Kate Mara is a really good actress, very underrated. Just has a great film acting capability. She does not overdo things. And I want to say, I think she's related to the Maras that own the New York Giants. I think she's a descendant. There's a lot of rich kids that act. You don't really see. The Kids from Fame, that was a great movie. But you don't see a ton of poor kids going into the entertainment industry, which is sad. There's a lot of kids out there with a lot of talent. But Kate Mara is very talented. She turns 40 today. We have a clip, don't we, Conrad?
Yeah.
She was in Brokeback Mountain. And this is a scene she did with the late Heath Ledger.
So what's the occasion?
Me and Kurt, we're getting married.
Well, how long you known this guy for?
About a year. The wedding will be June 5th at the Methodist Church. Jenny will be singing, and Monroe's going to cater the reception.
Well, this Kurt fella, he loves you?
Yeah, Daddy. He loves me. Was hoping you'd be there.
Yeah. I think I'm supposed to be on a roundup down near the Tetons. You know what? I reckon they can find themselves a new cowboy. A little girl getting married. Huh? To Alma? And Kurt.
That's Kate Mara and the late Heath Ledger. It's kind of crazy that she played his daughter in that film. I guess she's younger than I thought. Well, she's 40 now. Heath Ledger. It's a bit of a stretch. He'd be, what, 50 now? And she played his daughter. That's crazy. Some big releases on this day. Hotel California in 1977. And Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader? A show I actually worked on. Came out in 07. It was released in 2007. I filled it. A friend of mine left the show, Lou DiMaggio, and they needed someone to be Jeff Foxworthy's producer. So I wore an earpiece to Jeff Foxworthy. I got to pitch him jokes during the taping. I only did it for like a month. It was a fun gig. Jeff's a great guy. Very funny comedian. I think we have a funny clip from that too. We'll play in a little bit, but a lot of fun stuff coming up. Glad you're here with me tonight. Andrew Genzer will be along shortly. A writer from the very funny show, The Soup. Chris Foran will be along a little later to talk TV and film and about his column in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Chris is great. We're asking, what's your favorite iced cream? Ladies and gentlemen, please let us know. 844-967-2789. 844-96-PARTY. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Well, hi there. It's the fabulous Farm Bay Pam Yonke bringing you the Midwest Farm Report live weekday mornings right here on WBZH. It's not just for farmers. It's for anybody that loves food. Tune in 5 a.m. on the Buzz of the North, 9:10 a.m. Hayward.
Matt Nair on air.
Hovde, Eric Hovde now. He will be running against Tammy Baldwin.
He's not a Wisconsinite. He threw his hat in the ring from California. This is Tim Michaels all over again. Businessman who walks in, goes, well, I can take care of this. And Wisconsin says, no. Good to know you. Here's some Kringle. Go back home.
Is that how we politely blow people off now, is to take a Kringle and go away?
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Hey, son. How are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ed Council and Pivotal Ventures.
The Todd Allman, the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Welcome back. Breaking all the big stories on Nightlight, mint chocolate chip. Not mint chocolate chip. Chocolate chip. Chocolate chip ice cream is no longer the most popular ice cream in America. It has been supplanted, as they say. Cookies and cream is now number one. Cookies and cream never really did it for me. I got to be honest with you. The cookie just doesn't, there's not enough bang in the taste. It's an interesting texture, but it doesn't have that wow factor like a chocolate chip does, or like mint chocolate chip does, or like peanut butter. Got some texts here. Conrad's folks weighing in. Paula says, I like Neapolitan. You get strawberry, vanilla, and chocolate all together. But let me ask you this, Paula. Do you eat all three? Or do you polish off one flavor at a time?
I would try to separate them, I feel like.
Not mix them together?
No.
Yeah. There's a great scene on The Simpsons where Homer goes in the fridge and he pulls out a carton of ice cream and the chocolate and strawberry are gone. There's just vanilla left. And he pulls out another one, same deal, pulls out a third one. The only thing that's left in all three is the vanilla. And he yells to Marge, Marge, we need more chocolate, strawberry, and vanilla ice cream. From the 920. Also, Steve says, my favorite iced cream, thank you, Steve, is cookie dough. That's a big one. People love cookie dough. My favorite alcohol iced drink is a Brandy Alexandra. That is a delicious drink. I like the Brandy Alexandra a lot. And the Grasshopper. But the Brandy Alexandra is on another level. So Steve says, cookie dough. Jim from Appleton weighing in, the 920, says, of course vanilla is number one. Think of all the toppings. Well, that's the thing. It's got to be just because it's part of so many other dishes. Think of all the toppings you can put on it, chocolate, strawberry, and pineapple, just to name a banana split. That said, my favorite is chocolate caramel revel. I've never even heard of that. That's a great name, though. And Paula answered my question already. She says, all three. Okay, well, good for you, Paula. She eats the chocolate, vanilla, and strawberry. That's very responsible disbursement of your ice cream. Very good. Keep those texts coming. Always fun. What is your favorite flavor ice cream? That's what we're asking today. And Conrad, you sent me something. I've already lost it. It's the crazy flavors.
Yeah. Oh, there's a place in Eden, in between Eden and Fond du Lac. It's called Kelly's Creamery. And they just make a lot of flavors. And some of them are questionable. Like, would you try it or would you not?
Yeah. Jeez. Look, a lot of banana flavors.
Yeah. The banana one, I'm not sure if I'd try that.
Tomatoes Florentine ice cream. No, I'm making that up. Betsy's Blueberry Black Angus. Not going there. Black Cherry Vanilla. Black Forest, Black Cat. Okay, some of these. A lot of chocolate. You know what? They could be a sponsor someday. I love all of them. Well done, Kelly Country Creamery. Good find, Conrad. So that's like a footnote to our story about the ice cream. From the 920... A new texter says, give me vanilla or chocolate, though butter pecan is yummy too. Butter pecan, that is a throwback. So is pistachio ice cream. I can't remember where I was. Maybe I was in Madison. And the chocolate shop maybe had pistachio, and I hadn't even heard of that. I remember people used to order that like in the 70s, pistachio or butter pecan. Great throwback, 920. Love it. So keep those texts coming. We'll read them. We love when, I absolutely love when people get involved in the show and become part of the show. It's so much fun. I have to say, I've been looking at new cars. My son needs a car. So we were thinking about selling one of our cars to him and I would buy something new. The fees they are tacking on is unbelievable. It's not even like I expect to pay taxes. I expect like a small government fee or environmental fee, something like that. I asked a guy to send me, I said, let me know what my monthly payments would be if I put this down and got this car, yada, yada. He sends me a breakdown. And on the breakdown was an environmental package, $2,000, $1,999, environmental package. I emailed him back. I said, I've been back and forth with a few places. Yours is the first dealership that has this thing in there I've never heard of. It's not like I buy a car every week, but I probably got five or six quotes from other places. None of them included an environmental package. And then his excuse was something like, well, it's optional, but you know, it's you wipe down the inside with a chemical that protects it and the outside too. And I'm like, okay, well, why don't you go ahead and leave that off your next estimate? And he did. And it lowered the price exponentially. I mean, you're going to spend $20,000-$25,000 for a car. It's not even a new car. I like to buy used cars with low miles. And I could not believe that. It's like when you buy a ticket for something and they charge you a ticket fee. It's insane. So that was my day. Kind of started off on the wrong foot. Luckily, we get an extra day this week. It's a leap year. February 29th is upon us. So you can replace a bad day with an extra day in February. You buy a new car, Conrad? You get charged any crazy fees when you bought that car you have?
It was used.
Okay.
So.
You get it from a dealer?
Yeah. And I'll thank my mom for handling most of that.
Yeah. Was she eating some Neapolitan ice cream while she was helping you price the cars?
I think so.
It's really unnerving. It's like, God, what kind of a dope do you think I am? It's like not even, they'll tack anything on there. Walk-in fee. That's because you walked into the place to look at the cars.
The water, it ain't free.
Yeah, right.
Water free.
It's insane. Bugs me. So I had all this stuff to talk about, and apparently I forgot to write some of it down. So we are asking people tonight, what is your favorite flavor of ice cream? Because apparently chocolate chip is no longer number one. It's kind of a retro. We're retiring it with butter pecan and pistachio, although our 920 texter loves butter pecan. And it does taste good. It's just a weird name for an ice cream, butter and pecan. Neither of those things have an outlandish taste. It's an odd thing to combine for an ice cream flavor and think that people are going to go nuts. It is good. It's been around forever. But I don't know. From the 844, Jack from Merrimack says, favorite ice cream? Many years ago when I lived near Madison, I used to go to Babcock Hall and get vanilla chocolate cake. Haven't had it in years. Don't even know if you can anymore, but I've never forgotten the taste. Vanilla chocolate cake. Yeah, the cake flavors are crazy. I don't know how they work cake into there. But you know what? You bite into it. Like I had a birthday cake thing the other day, like a protein bar. It actually tasted like birthday cake. I don't know how they did it. The ice cream engineers are working overtime, people. All right. More of your texts coming up. What's your favorite flavor? Ice cream. 844-967-2789. This is Pete Schwabe and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Andrew Genzer is up next.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
This is a special report from ABC News. Texas wildfires. I'm Daria Aldinger. Shelter in place. That's what authorities in Canadian Texas are telling residents as a fast-moving wildfire races toward their homes. All of the roads into the city are no longer passable. ABC's Maria Villarreal is in Fort Worth.
The largest inferno, the Smokehouse Creek Fire, quadrupling in size in less than 24 hours. Misty West and her family fleeing their home in Pampa, Texas with their two dogs.
It just moves so fast.
The hot, dry conditions fueling fires across the plains from Texas to Nebraska and Colorado, where a fire Monday threatened the Air Force Academy near Colorado Springs.
West describing the conditions there.
We're in town right now, but it's just massive. Like, it should be a sunny day, and it looks like it's fixing to thunderstorm here.
The governor declaring a state of emergency for 60 counties. This is ABC News.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin wildlife officials say the danger for wildfires is high. Much of the state hasn't been under several inches of snow since January. Department of Natural Resources wardens say warmer than normal temperatures, low humidity, breezy conditions, and dry vegetation all add to the problem. Last weekend, the DNR responded to 15 wildfires that burned 30 acres. Nearly all wildfires in Wisconsin are caused by people. Much of southern Wisconsin is going on a wild weather ride today, starting with possible record-high temperatures, then snow, strong storms, and bitter cold. Today starts as mild as yesterday. High temperatures should reach the 60s and even the low 70s. Things take a turn starting at about 6 tonight with a chance of severe weather. In Racine and Kenosha, maybe even tornadoes. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
My name is Juanita Segura, and I was diagnosed in November of 2014 with non-small cell lung cancer. Biomarker testing was a turning point for me. By working with my oncologist, we were able to determine the most appropriate treatment plan. My fear was I wasn't going to be here to see my children grow up. That gave me hope, knowing that I have that chance, and I did. Visit noonemissed.org for more.
A public service message from Longevity Foundation.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Cloudy with some snow showers tonight, a low near 5 above, but windy, gusts as high as 30 miles an hour. Early clouds tomorrow, then sun's back for the afternoon, windy and colder, high in the upper teens. Warmer Thursday, near 40. Currently, it's 19 degrees.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Green Bay's a fine town, but I'm just telling you, you're better off to take a horse. Don't drive in Green Bay, and for God's sake, don't get a parking ticket. So how about this? We find out how much revenue does Green Bay get from parking tickets, and we say that the Packers are going to donate that, and we're going to have free parking in Green Bay. How about that? Todd for mayor of Green Bay.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Do you ever get tired of one-sided conversations filled with mean-spirited rhetoric? It's time to listen and engage. Join the Rational Revolution with me, Chris Alfine, Saturday afternoons at 2 and Sunday afternoons at 1 on the Buzz of the North, WBZH and the Civic Media app.
You know, I hope this is the best hour of your life. I'll tell you that. The Cripes Cast, folks.
Comedian Mary Mack.
He's noticed a very sizable increase on people off the lake coming onto our lake to fish it. You don't want everything to be popular and known about. That seems to be the way I also approach my comedy, Charlie. I think there's a theme.
Cripes Cast, every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Hayward's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Did you miss what's hot from Wisconsin to Hollywood? Listen to the Nightlight with Pete Schwabba podcast on civicmedia.us. You can always listen through Spotify, Apple Podcast, or the Civic Media app. Take Nightlight with Pete Schwabba anywhere you go. Once again, here is your host, Pete Schwabba.
Coming up in the second hour from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, entertainment reporter Chris Foran. We'll talk movies and TV with Chris and about an article he wrote recently. Always excited to talk to Chris. From the 608, this is Aunt Carla. Says Aunt Carla listening, my favorite ice cream, not iced cream. She apparently thinks I'm being elitist for using proper grammar, is French vanilla, and I add my own chocolate chips or fresh strawberries or whatever is in the refrigerator. Mint ice cream, yuck. Whoa. She's a rebel. Unfortunately, we had the Swain man deliver our ice cream in the country, and mother made us eat it. Up or no Swain man. I'm having trouble. Conrad, this is your family. You're going to have to get to the bottom of this. Take a memo.
Yeah.
Got sick of it. So vanilla for me. She's going with vanilla. Okay. Plus Elizabeth Taylor came to Minocqua. Her uncle lived. Howard Young. Yeah, a lot of famous people went to Minocqua. I don't know what the deal is. From the 608, cherry chip, vanilla ice cream, cherries and almonds. Interesting. From the 608, Rico from Rock County says turtle. We'll get to the rest of these in a little bit because I got a guest I'm very excited to have on the show right now. And what better way to celebrate Kate Mara's birthday than to welcome in the very funny comedy writer, Andrew Genzer. Andrew, how are you?
Hey, Pete. How's
good to see you, man. How are you?
I'm great. Can you hear me? Am I on? Is this working?
You are, yes. Hey, okay.
I'm good. I'm excited to be on your show. This is the first time we've caught up in so long. Let's do it publicly.
It's been way too long, and we've got a lot of private stuff to discuss, so what better way than to let everyone in the state of Wisconsin know our relationship. No, it is, it's great to have you. I appreciate you taking time out. Hey, you want to take a phone call with me?
Yeah, let's take a phone call.
All Who's right.
calling in?
Who is it?
This is Steve from Green Bay.
Steve from Green Bay. Put him through. Steve, you're on with Pete and Andrew Genzer.
Hello, Pete.
Hi, Steve.
I listen to your show. I listen to your show quite regularly. Actually, I watch it on YouTube.
Oh, nice.
And I'm a regular caller into the Civic Media shows. And for the longest time, we had a lot of politic talk, but we didn't have a lot of things to just unwind and have fun. And then they introduced you, and let me tell you, you have caused many moments in my car when I'm driving around the city of Green Bay where I'm laughing hysterically and I'm crying, which probably isn't a good thing considering I'm driving and I can't see very well from all the tears that are welling in my eyes.
Oh, my gosh.
But I just want to say your show, I love it. I also want to bring to your attention, you were talking about ice cream flavors, and I came from Stevens Point before I moved to Green Bay. And they have a place there. I don't know if you've ever been there. If you haven't, you should check it out. It is called King Cone. And they have some of the most interesting flavor of ice cream, like bubble gum, caramel apple sucker, fruity pebbles, just interesting things like that. And it's a place that I think you need to go to if you like ice cream.
I appreciate the referral. Thank you very much. What do you think about that, Andrew? Should we road trip?
Yeah. Fly me into Wisconsin, and we'll go on a road trip together.
Thank you very much for the call. That was very nice, and thanks for the nice words. Nice. I think if you're driving around in the car by yourself, laughing or crying, people are going to judge you.
Absolutely. They're going to say, what is that lunatic doing?
Right, exactly. And then you just so got to yell out the window, I'm listening to Nightlight. And then they'll go, oh, okay, gotcha.
Got it, got it.
Pete Schwab is a funny guy. Seriously, though, thank you for the call. So, Andrew, all right, let's talk. It's been so long since we've talked.
Yes.
What is new with you? Let's catch up briefly on the air. Then I got a lot of questions for you.
Well, I'm still out here in LA.
Yeah.
Toiling away in the entertainment industry. I live in Los Feliz, which is a part of LA for anyone who's been to LA or
love it.
It's here. Married, got a 4-year-old boy.
Whoa.
I know. Well, Pete and I, for those that you don't know, which is everyone, Pete and I worked together years ago when I was just a young 20-something.
Yeah.
And I fatherhood was not on my mind at that time. But here we are. Things change, and I couldn't be happier. It's the best.
Oh, congratulations. That's so cool.
Thanks, man.
I imagine you're a really fun dad. You're a very funny guy. You used to crack me up. We still tell stories. This is so great. Okay, I'm going to share a Sports Soup story. So Sports Soup was one of them. I've done a lot of different things in the entertainment business. That was one of the most fun jobs I've ever had. And it's guys like me and Andrew Genzer, or Genzer, as you were affectionately called, Roger, Trevor, all these writers in the same room just cracking up and watching sports. I mean, what better gig could you have?
It was great.
It was great.
My first writing gig in Hollywood I ever had. And it was fantastic. I loved it.
But the funny thing was, so my kids, they were so young at the time, I would take them. They met all the writers. And you apparently made an impression of my daughter, who was like 5 at the time. And she said, "Dad, when I get older, can I write for Sports Soup?" And I said, "Well, sure you can, honey." And she said, and then she looked troubled for a minute and she goes, "But what if Genzer doesn't like me?" You know,
you're right. Oh, so, of course I would have liked her. And also I was not making any decisions.
None of us were. I remember one time
we
went into pitch every week. We'd have to go in and pitch the head writer, John Moore, great guy. We have to go in and pitch ideas for sketches. And I was amazed, like, you probably got more sketches on than anybody. And you walked in and Michael Crabtree was in the news that week. And we all pitched our Michael Crabtree ideas. And you said, "How about if we, you know, put a crab in a tree?"
It's so dumb.
I got to tell you, dude, in my head, I'm like, "Well, that's never getting on." John,
because it's so dumb.
And it did. And John goes, "I like that." And I'm like, maybe comedy writing isn't for me. But yeah, you got a ton of stuff on, dude.
Oh yeah, I don't. Thanks, I guess. I mean, when you have ideas like crab in a tree, like, you can't argue with it. It's gold. Like,
it was gold.
Crab in a tree. Right? You can't top that.
You can't top it. So
no, I usually find the dumber I can get, the more I laugh at it. At least no one else may, but I like things.
No, I think you and I bonded instantly. You said a couple things, and I just cracked up, and I was like, "I love this." And then on like the second or third day there, I had a candy wrapper or something. I was just like crinkling it constantly, waiting for someone to notice.
Yeah, I remember that.
And all of a sudden, Genzer goes, "Okay." So and then you started cracking.
It was a classic Pete bit, is just like kind of making this little noise in the background. It's just background noise until you realize it's not stopping. Why is that noise not stopping?
It's not stopping.
And you look up and he's just staring at you.
Waiting for you to scold me.
Oh, that's great.
So you ended up going on to write for The Soup. The older,
the Soup, which was, yeah,
the older, more successful brother of Sports Soup. And
The Soup kind of had a bunch of spinoffs.
Yeah.
That was like the mothership. And then that got canceled about 8 years ago.
Oh my gosh. Has it been that long?
Yeah, it was. Wow. It's been about eight or maybe even nine. Yeah. 8 or 9 years, something like that. I don't know. Joel McHale was never heard from again.
What'd you do with him?
I don't know. Ever since the show got canceled, he's disappeared. It never worked.
He took his money and ran.
I'm kidding. He's everywhere. You see him everywhere.
Yeah, he's doing okay. So what was that like? Like, that was a premier show to write that for, I would imagine. A great experience.
It was great. It was like Sports Soup. It was a tiny staff, you know, and people who had been there forever. And we were like a little family just doing this weird, fun show every week. And it was never like a big show as far as like this reach of an audience. I mean, people knew about it and people watched it, but compared to like a show on, you know, like a Kimmel, for instance, or something like that, tons of people see that. So it always felt like a little cult show, which was fun. I love that feeling of like, you can do whatever you want. No one's paying attention.
Right.
And more and more towards the end, more people were, because Joel got bigger. He did Community and people like Joel and all that. And the show was fun and funny. So, but it felt like this little fun thing we were doing every week that we're like, maybe someone will see this. Who knows?
That's so
it was great.
Fun.
I love it.
Yeah, that's great. So I want to ask you, more so than any of the other writers, at least on Sports Soup, I think the rest of us were all stand-ups or had done improv. You're this guy who moved to LA to be a writer, and I don't think you had stand-up or improv in your background. So to go out there and just say, "I'm going to be a writer," that was really a kind of a brave thing. And what gave you the guts to do that?
Well, thank you. First of all, I don't know if it was brave or just like being young and dumb and being fortunate enough that I was able to just come out here and try. it's funny because I think back on that now and I'm like, I wonder if I would still make that decision today. But fortunately, I was like 22 and I was like, I want to move to LA. I studied writing in college. I wanted to come out and write movies like Pete did for years. Then I kind of got into TV first. And I was like, well, this is fun. I was trying to write, you know, comedy movies and sort of small pivot into comedy TV.
Yeah.
And I just kind of have stayed there ever since because like just kind of kept, that's where my work was. I'm still trying to do like everyone. Other things. I'm trying to, you know, sell a few movies and TV shows. But writing jokes, I don't know. I just always kind of taken to it, but I never did stand up. I never really did improv. I don't know. I just really enjoy it and wanted to come try it. And I was lucky enough that it kind of worked out. I mean, it works out and then it doesn't work out. And then it works out. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's always up and down.
It's crazy.
It's like it's an insane industry and it's an insane career. You're working, things are great. Then you're not working and right. The sky's falling and you may never work again. Right. And then something happens and you work again or you don't. You just never know. Right. It's awful. And the older I get, the less, I don't know, patience I have for it.
Yeah.
So we'll see. We'll see how long. I'm still out here. I'm still out here for now.
It's not too late to go to law school.
Yeah, I know. Is it too late? No.
I think you're doing okay, buddy. My guest is Andrew Genzer. He is a former soup writer working for the Jimmy Kimmel Show now. Jimmy Kimmel the other day said he might hang it up. And I know you're not like right in his loop or whatever, but that's got to bum you out a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, he's a legendary figure who's been doing this now for like 21 years, which is crazy that the show's been on that long.
Yeah, it is.
Who knows what he'll do? I would like, if he wants to hang it up, he's obviously been doing this forever. He's more than welcome to do that. We'd all be sad because he's the best and he's a great boss and the show's so fun to work for. And we're just really lucky to have a guy like him in charge. But, you know, he's going to retire at some point.
Right.
Who knows when? I mean, I can't like 20. This is it's a grueling show to do, especially when you're the face and the host of it. It's just nonstop. And to be doing this for 21 years, it's incredible.
That is a daily show. I know that is nuts.
Yeah. An hour every night of brand new material. It takes a big staff to do that. But when he's got to be on every night. He's got to be, and he is. He's so good at it.
Yeah. No, he's got great demeanor. I would say after Letterman left, Kimmel's probably my favorite. Like, he's just mellow and he's just himself. And like Dave was, but Kimmel's less edgy, not edgy, but salty, I guess. He can be when he needs to be, but he just comes across as like an everyman, which is so cool.
He does. Yeah. He's a really great guy.
What I do on this show, Andrew, is I name drop periodically. I lived in LA for 15 years and have all these weird stories and Jimmy Kimmel is involved in one of them.
Oh really? I'd love to hear that. I don't know this story.
I don't think he does either. He had a party one night. I think he's divorced from the woman he was married to at the time, but a friend of mine worked for Comedy Central and took me to this party and I was doing the Atkins diet at the time.
Okay.
And I know this is getting good, right? So, he's got this sangria, which is not part of the Atkins diet, and it looks delicious. And I have to have some. So I drank the sangria, and he seemed like a very nice guy. I talked to him for like 1 minute. He's got kids running around, whatever. I leave the party, and I vomit violently within 30 minutes from Jimmy Kimmel's sangria. So I don't know if you can turn that into a sketch or if that's sketch worthy. I'm pitching jokes. That's why I'm having you on, Andrew.
Right. I'll get in his ear. Yeah. What was it, the sangria or was it the diet you were on?
What was the diet?
Okay.
I think it was the diet. It had all this fruit and it looked beautiful. It was beautiful sangria.
I love it so much.
So yeah, exactly.
Violent vomiting everywhere.
Exactly.
If he hears that story, I'm sure he'll remember it.
Turn that into a miniseries? Hey, so when we come back, I'm going to give you a Simpsons quiz. You ready for that?
Oh, God, yes.
Yeah.
I will do my best.
All right. Andrew Genzer spends some time on Nightlight with Peach Wabi. He's going to take a Simpsons quiz next. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Matt Nair on air.
It's Black History Month, and Civic Media Radio Network recognizes the importance of this observance. But what do you really know about it? I'm Kelvin Butenhoff, producer of The Earl Ingram Show. Echoes of Empowerment, Black History Stories will offer thoughtful answers all month long. Now, here's Earl Ingram.
It's Oscar season, and since the award started in 1929, more than 3,000 Oscars have been awarded. But only 60 have been won by Black actors. The first Black woman to win Best Lead Actress was Halle Berry for the film Monsters Ball in 2002. Denzel Washington earned Best Lead Actor for Training Day also in 2002, marking the first time both of the top Oscars were won by African Americans. That hasn't happened since. Listen for more Black history stories here on Civic Media. I'm Earl Ingram.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Welcome back. Aunt Carla is correcting her grammar. Sorry, bad grammar. Autocorrect, speed texting, Schwann, man. I thought it was Schwann's. Okay. Elizabeth Taylor's uncle, Howard Young. In Minocqua. From the 608, also Carla. Oh, my God, auto text. Howard Young lived in Minocqua. Carla is having all kinds of thumb problems tonight with her texting device. That's great. And then 920 Paula says, Blue Moon. Not sure what flavor it actually is, but it tastes so good. It's a chemical concoction. And then Rico from Rock County already said, I think I already said that. Turtle. Rico's been quiet the last couple of nights, Conrad. We went after him a little too hard the other night. He's one of our favorites. He's a nightlight bestie. I'm talking with Andrew Genzer, comedy writer, and former Soup writer, is joining us here on Nightlight tonight. So before we move on, I just have to ask, what we talk about on the show, Andrew, is movies and TV, what people are watching. We give each other ideas. What are you watching right now? What are you excited about?
Right now, I just finished watching a show called The Curse, which I loved.
People are going nuts about that. It's good, huh?
Okay, yeah. It's very, I can see people not liking it, but it's very much up my alley, very weird, left of center, funny, disturbing, all the thing. It's great. If you're a Nathan Fielder fan, you know, I enjoyed it a lot. I finished that. What?
Is that Nathan for you?
Yeah.
Oh, that's him. Okay.
Yeah, with Benny Safdie, one of the Safdie brothers. You know, they made a bunch of movies. Anyways, and Emma Stone's in it. It's I loved it.
I'll have to check that out. That's so cool.
And I'm halfway through Mr. and Mrs. Smith, which is the Amazon TV version of the movie with Donald Glover, Maya Erskine. They're great.
Yeah, I've heard good things about that too. Did you watch True Detective, the new season?
I haven't watched the last couple seasons. I know. Are you into that?
I finished it. I'd love to, after you're done with it, I would love to talk to you about it because it's one of those shows where my joke was you can't play video poker for 2 minutes while you're watching it. Otherwise you get totally lost. Like you really have to follow everything about it. So I got to go back and rewatch the whole thing.
Yeah. I mean, I'd love to. I just haven't gotten around to it yet. But the first season was obviously incredible. That was, at this point,
amazing.
Like 10 years ago. I mean,
yeah. And I like the third season too, with Mahershala Ali and Stephen Dorff, actually.
And they're all like, I haven't seen two or three, but does that matter?
No, not, you'll have, no, they're all standalone. The second season I thought was awful, like unwatchably awful at times.
I know people weren't into it.
It was just rude to put out a show like that.
Like they can't all, it's hard to make a show.
I know. It's easy for me to sit here and criticize. So I have one more fun story while we're on memory lane. Do you remember every time you would become friends with someone on Facebook, I would write, "It's about time, you two."
Like that was such a good joke that just kept going on and on and on every time. You wouldn't know the person I was.
No. But I would act like I knew both of you. And how are you guys not friends though? And you would laugh. It was very silly, very stupid. I knew it was right up your alley.
Yeah.
And then I think you liked the girl and you said, "Hey man, please don't do that joke this time." I can only hope that's your wife and you ended up getting married to her. Because,
you know, for the sake of the story, I'll say yes. I don't remember. But let's pretend it was.
Okay.
But yeah, I remember being like, all right, this is going to be weird because it actually kind of applies. So don't make it a thing.
And I did because I'm a pal, right?
Oh, you're a buddy. I know.
So, all right. So you're probably maybe even a bigger Simpsons fan than me.
Well, I'm out of practice.
Same.
You know what I mean? If you're going to ask me deep trivia questions, I may not do that well.
I think these are pretty easy because I picked ones that I assume you would know because I know them too. But if they're too hard, you know, because it's easy when it's in your mind, it's go, well, of course he knows this. It's like,
sure.
All right. So let's try a few here.
Let's do it.
Okay. What Simpsons character came home from the store with Marge and said, "We got beets"?
Homer?
No. Hey, this is going to be hard.
I don't remember.
It's Lisa.
Now I do. We got beets.
We
so
got
excited.
Beets. She was so excited.
Was that when Lisa, was that when she becomes a vegetarian?
It was either that or when Homer lost Maggie. I can't remember.
Okay. I'm already off to a terrible start.
All right. No, that's okay. I'll try to pick some that are more obvious. This cheese doodle is our last morsel of food.
Are you asking me who said that?
Yeah.
Or what episode it was?
No. Who said it?
I'm guessing Homer again.
It was Flanders. Flanders said it to Homer when they were on the rafting trip. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay.
This seemed like such a great idea when I thought of it earlier.
No. This is going great.
All right. Here's another one. Boy, Mom sure will be happy you won $50.
Bart.
After Homer bet on football, and his line was, "You'd think that, wouldn't you?" All right, let's try to do a couple more here. We're running out of time. Right.
I'm on a roll.
This one you have to get, Kenzie. Okay. I know you'll get this. Come along, Bort.
I'm guessing it's Homer.
It's not a regular. It was just, remember that where they were looking for the license plate?
That with the license or the little tag, name tags. So
yes.
Bort.
Yeah, and she said, come along.
They have a Bort, but not a Bart. Yeah, now I know that one.
Who's named Bort? And then all of a sudden, everybody in the store is named Bort. Come along, Bort.
Yeah.
Are you talking to me? No, my son's name is Bort, too.
It's an example of a great dumb joke.
Right, exactly. All right, here's one I think you should be able to do okay in this one. I've learned that life is one crushing defeat after another until you just wish Flanders was dead.
Okay, that's all. That's
all. Let's try one more, and let's see if we get a streak going.
Okay.
Up yours, Krabappel.
Was it Bart?
It's not. No. I'll let you take that back. He's on the periphery of Bart's world, though.
Oh, is it Nelson or Milhouse?
Milhouse, yeah.
All right.
Okay, here we go.
I got there.
All right.
Yay.
See,
I'm a genius. A Simpsons genius.
It's funny because we do these quizzes where I'll have like a critic on. I'll make him guess the scene of a movie that I think is obvious, but unless it's coming from your head, you don't know. You know, it could be from anything.
I know. And I don't watch them anymore as much. I got a 4-year-old. I've got my brain's gone.
I know. You got a perfect excuse. Hey, buddy, it was great catching up with you. Thanks so much for your time.
Thanks so much, man. It was so much fun. If you ever want to have me on again, try and find my number. I don't know.
I'll catch up with you. It's about time you do.
All right, man. Thanks, Pete.
See you, buddy. That's Bye. Andrew Genzer, former comedy writer and current comedy writer and one of the funniest people I know. Great to have Andrew on. Hey, in just a couple minutes, my brother is going to tell the story about how he got the UW Badgers Twitter handle and the negotiation that took place after. It's a story you won't want to miss. This is Pete Schwabe and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Rice Lake's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Hey everybody, it's Todd Alball. Wednesday noon till 2 with the return of Pat Kreitlow, Trigby Olson, who will review the Michigan primary and more on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Big G here from WBZH Radio, The Buzz of the North, live at the Lakewood Cafe on Railroad Street in Hayward, Wisconsin.
I just tried the Texas burger. Man, what a burger. A hearty half-pound patty with cheese, onion, mouth-watering barbecue sauce topped with a crispy onion ring. Served with golden crispy fries and a delightful piece of banana cream pie from their fresh pie case. Trust me, you won't leave the table hungry. Come to the Lakewood Cafe on Railroad Street in Hayward, Wisconsin, and taste the satisfaction for yourself.
Is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.